It's Morphin' Time!
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals. Welcome to our table. My name is Jared, and with me is the graceful, brave, bold, wise, and fearless friend, Ian.
Wow, that's me.
That's you. We will be your hosts for the podcast. We are honored that you have joined us at our table. Here at the Game Table Podcast, we take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide our somewhat finely crafted thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at Power Rangers, Heroes of the Grid, designed by Jonathan Ying, with art done by Daniel Mora, and published by Renegade Game Studios.
Power Rangers Heroes of the Grid is a 2-5 player cooperative beat up the bad guys game. You take the role of one of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and work together to defeat Rita and her evil monsters. Time to bring out our teenage attitude and defeat this review. Well, Jared, Power Rangers.
Yes.
The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. So there's a lot of different Power Rangers.
All right, let's not get too excited.
There's a lot.
Even though we're both going crazy over this one.
There are a lot of different Power Rangers. And so which one did you watch?
All right. So I am an OG fan.
OG.
I was born in 1989, which means as a young boy, I was in the prime age to be brainwashed and overcome with terrible special effects of awesomeness at the ripe old age of 4, where I was introduced to Power Rangers, and I haven't looked back since.
Has not looked back. So I grew up on Power Rangers in Space, mostly. I watched all of them. Power Rangers in Space, though, my favorite ranger was Andros, the Red Ranger from Space.
Okay.
And so there was just something about it, man. And man, yeah. So growing up, I watched so much of that, and we had it recorded on VHS tapes from Live, whatever. And so I would watch the reruns over and over and over again. And then eventually moved on to Lost Galaxy. But I did, as it was aired on TV, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the OGs, were put on. I didn't have those recorded, so I'd have to watch those live when they were being having a rerun.
Sure.
So what was your favorite ranger?
Oh, Jason, the Red Ranger.
He was the coolest.
I remember having an action figure of Jason, the Red Ranger.
Yep.
I remember I don't even remember the name of it, but we would go down to the local video store, rent a Power Rangers battle game for Sega Genesis.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And
that game is awesome.
I would play that game for days.
That game is awesome.
I was sold on
that
the original group.
That game was the coolest game ever. Like, absolutely the coolest. I do remember, I did like Jason. I was more of a Tommy fan. That was like, because he kind of transcends like so many different...
He is Power Rangers.
Like, he is Power Rangers.
Yes.
And as this episode will release for everyone, it'll be the 30th anniversary for Power Rangers.
On August 28th. I think we're dropping this about a week and a half after that anniversary. But yeah, it's been 30 years, man.
Yes, 30 years. And rest in peace, Jason David Frank, who played Tommy Oliver in the show for many years, not even just in the Mighty Morphin series, but through Turbo and Zeo. And
yeah, he loved it.
I mean, he went all the way up into recent episodes. He's been part of the Power Rangers IP and franchise for as it's spanned across many different companies. It's been this past year. Rest in peace, Jason David Frank, and we love him. He created the memories that I have so much. I remember Power Rangers in space, but going back and looking at and watching some of the other older episodes of Power Rangers, he's just so prominent and just, he is the Power Ranger. And, yeah. and so even looking at all these other shows that they've kind of developed over the years, he's the one that stands strong. So anyway, so for those that haven't watched Power Rangers, this will be an interesting episode for you, but please stay tuned. we do love some Power Rangers and we love this game. It's a cooperative game. And what's the max player count again?
So in the base game, it's 5.
Okay.
This game, I had actually given up on doing Kickstarter games for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And when Renegade brought this game to Kickstarter, I was like, well, I'm suckered back in.
Nice.
So there are a variety of expansions at this point. You can rest assured that they are going to go through pretty much everything that they can in this series to get out as many Rangers as they can to get them into your hands for your money. but I, needless to say, from the Kickstarter, I have enough that you can play with 6 pretty easily.
Yeah. So when Power Rangers came out in 1993,
yep.
It was actually put up by Fox Kids.
Yeah.
Crazy enough, I don't even know what that is anymore.
We're just throwing around things that don't exist.
I know.
Like VHSs, Sega Genesis, like these things aren't real anymore.
These are not real to the modern child, I guess. It was originally done in Japan, Super Sentai, and Saban's Power Rangers is what everybody knows now today, but he kind of worked with the people in Japan and developed the show. They stole a lot of the videos, the action scenes of the monsters, and even the Power Rangers were all Japanese cuts that they took, and they brought it over to America, and what they did is they used American actors to do the dialogue, and then the story is different than the Japanese model, but it was taken in that way, and they used a lot of those cuts, so it is very hard to watch sometimes. It is so cheesy.
But you know, man, at the time, nobody cared.
No.
Not a care in the world.
Yep. And you know, here's a funny fact. Did you know that Disney owned Power Rangers at one point?
I did know that, yes. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
I know.
Disney's owned everything at some point.
They sold out, though. They sold out in 2010. They owned it for almost 10 years. And Saban bought it back from them and has made it his own thing as he moves forward. But
still waiting on that cinematic universe.
I know, right?
I hold out very little hope, but hope nonetheless.
So I remember the biggest memory for me of Power Rangers is the movie, which came out. And I had it on VHS. Yes. Tape. Did you see it in theaters?
I did. I did get to go to theaters and see that.
How was that experience?
Dude, it was everything. when a TV show is given an actual budget for a movie,
yeah.
That opening scene where they're just kicking the crap out of people, oh, it's so good.
That movie is trash.
I don't care. I don't.
But it's so good.
I don't care. It's I don't remember when that came out. I don't know how old it was.
It came out in 1995.
95?
I was a month old. I was a month old.
And I loved it.
And I
remember getting it on VHS, and I'd watch it all the time.
We had it on VHS when I was, like 5, and I ran it to the ground. It probably doesn't even work how many times I ran it. And then it was followed by a second movie, the Power Rangers Turbo movie.
Yes.
Which I actually did enjoy, too. I had that on VHS also, and it was fine. It was, it was a fun little experience. I didn't watch much Turbo, though, so... But
Turbo was really bad.
1995, 20th Century Fox. Look there. That's it's meant to be. It is his communicator.
Sorry, that's
calling
my little ringtone.
And so the movie came out in 1995. It had a lot of drama around it, and you're welcome to look into that. But it the movie was it has something in it. It's Power Rangers. Even though it has many flaws with script and characters and editing, and there's the actors' discrepancy between the show, there is something so perfect about that movie. The last song as they're sitting there watching the fireworks is like a perfect end to what that movie is. Mm. It's so good. It brings back so much nostalgia. And this episode is nostalgia, and That's what this is. This we're diving into nostalgia today. So with that, Jared, please tell me how this game works.
Can I tell you my fun fact? Or not my fun fact, but my...
You have one more.
Well, you asked me what I enjoyed most about Power Rangers and then talked about your thing and then said, let's talk about the rules.
Okay, I thought we were talking about the movie. But yeah, go ahead. Please do, and then we will move on.
All right. Well, I remember one of my greatest memories was... this was one of my favorite toys, man. I actually had all the Zords that would morph together into the Megazord.
Coolest thing ever.
That was hands down the coolest toy that I ever had.
I don't know if there is a cooler toy.
No. It was so great. I wish I could find it again because I don't know what happened
to it. My mom still has them. I'll have to bring them over.
That's awesome. Dude, I remember playing in the backyard. Yeah. I just thought it was so cool. And
the swords, the blasters, the Zords.
Yeah. We had the action figures, the Zords, them coming together. It was awesome. So anyway, so that was something I really enjoyed and I just wanted to throw out there as well. Man, it was so much fun. I loved it.
So good.
All right. So let's talk about how to play this game. In Power Rangers Heroes of the Grid, each player is given a ranger to play. The players are given action tokens, an energy token, which acts as the currency of the game to be able to play your cards, a 10-card deck, and a ranger card with a unique special ability. Each round will consist of the players using their actions to move around the board, fight in battles, and to recover after said battles. The game adds minions, or in this case, they're referred to as foot soldiers, and monsters to the board over the course of the first three rounds of play. And then at the beginning of the fourth round of play, the evil master villain is revealed and attempts to set Angel Grove into a city-wide panic.
Ah.
When rangers participate in battles, they use their unique deck of cards to perform various attacks. But be careful. That deck also represents your health. If a ranger ever runs out of their draw deck, they have been defeated and must temporarily return to the command center. If, at any point, all four locations become panicked or too many rangers are defeated, the players have lost. However, survive and defeat the evil master villain and the players become the heroes of Angel Grove.
The main villain that's in, or the boss that is in there is Rita. Do you know who else is in the box or?
There's four monsters.
Okay.
So you have Pudgy Pig, Madam Woe, Bones, and Nasty Knight.
Okay. And Rita's the boss.
And Rita's the boss.
There is not another boss in the base.
Not in the base game.
Okay. And you only play two monsters per game.
Yeah. So you have some flexibility with the monsters.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the boss comes at the end. And it's Rita's great. I mean, Rita's Rita. It's the OG. It's everything.
The dialed up to 11 ridiculousness.
Yes. Now with this game though, each player will have their own deck and that deck is everything.
It is.
It does everything, which is one of the cool parts of this is that you have a hero deck that's your life, your defense and your attack, and then some other extra. Shenanigans that happen.
And we will also sprinkle in other things as we go. This game is quite involved as far as the various things that can happen during the game. And so it's hard to cover it all in just the rules kind of overview.
Yeah. There are plenty of how-to videos if you are more interested.
And we'll link one or two of those for sure.
Yeah.
But Ian is correct. The deck is the most important thing. And it's probably the most unique aspect of this game in that it is used for everything. And you can't even attack without the cards in that deck.
Yeah.
There's no just basic punch. No. You have to have cards.
There's not. And so you will draw, really the start of every turn, the heroes will use multiple actions depending on how many players there are. You'll use a certain allocated amount per game, per round that you'll have to be able to move, attack, recover. Recovering is a way to replenish cards from your discard pile because the cards that you play each turn go to your discard pile and you cannot get them back unless you recover of some kind. There are certain game effects or card effects that allow you to maybe pull a couple cards back. But in general, you have, is it 10 cards?
That's right.
10 cards in your deck. You will use those cards to do all of these things. And if your deck is low, that's your life. So if you have two cards in your draw pile, that's how much life you have. And if you have, you know, and there's a way to get those cards back, but you have to keep an eye out as the game progresses with that deck.
And those monsters aren't waiting for you to recover.
They are not. They are not. And so you'll use this deck again to attack those, the attack cards. That's what's so cool about this. Each character has their own style of attacking in many different ways.
Yeah. Not only in their unique ability, which I mentioned before, but also each deck is completely unique.
Completely different.
Yeah.
They all play very uniquely, which is so much fun when trying to do combos and look at all these different characters. Yeah. And it adds so much. You have a lot of different options. And then you get to play the characters that you truly love, which if you're a Red Ranger fan like Jared, then he gets to play the Red Ranger all the time. And so
not all the time. I share. I'm not a jerk.
That's right. The wealth around. But, yeah, no, it's that deck does everything. And that's kind of the main, that's mostly the game.
There's lots of dice chucking in this game too.
There is, but that's based, it's reflective off the cards.
Sure.
So,
all right, Ian. So I think that's enough to kind of give an okay picture. Mm-hmm. Obviously this is audio medium and so we'll do the best we can, but, let's talk about what we liked in this game.
Yeah. Yes. Do you want to go first? You want me to go?
Yeah, I'll dive in.
All right.
I will say off the top, one of the coolest things, just from a game perspective, that I loved. I think, so I've played this game a variety of times at this point, and I've always enjoyed it, but there was a particular moment, I want to say 3 or 4 games in, that we were doing something, and we're in the middle of a battle. Normally, it's one ranger gets to play a card and do a thing, and then the monsters go, and you go back and forth. But the way the cards comboed off of each other, all 5 of us in that one turn got to play something before the monsters got to go.
That's pretty cool.
And so when you have a show that's all about coming together in friendship and the power of friendship, and it's all about the friends we made along the way,
that's
and all that nonsense.
That's the point of the show, honestly.
It's so cool to have these decks synergize, and not only synergize, but they each have a role to play.
Yep.
I think that every deck can feel awesome, but they're going to feel awesome in very different ways. Mm-hmm. So in the base game, Billy is not going to feel awesome in trying to smack someone over the head because that's not what Billy does.
Right.
But Billy can be an awesome support for somebody else. And so just seeing that combat and that combo synergy, that sold me on the game right there.
Yes. No, the combos in this game with other heroes, the other Rangers, but what tends to happen even more frequently is within your own deck is that you'll get a card that allows you to play another card or use your hero's ability. I was playing one of the Rangers and his ability was to reroll dice when he dropped below 2 cards in his hand. So this combo was that you play this card and another card together, boost its attack by 1 die, and then that dropped me down to 2 cards, which is the qualifier for this ability to work. And then I was able to roll 3 dice with a reroll. I popped like 3 hits. Great combo. And this is the type of stuff that happens within this game because the decks themselves usually synergize within each other. And so they allow for these combos to happen. Those decks are built for that in this game. Because like what you're saying is not, you didn't even mean for this to be multiple times when we were playing. I played a card. And then you played a card that boosted another card. And it's like, oh, well, now I have to attack with this guy because he gets all the rerolls and does this. And so it just, the combos kind of just flow out of each other. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's really cool to see.
It very much feels like you are playing a Power Ranger.
Absolutely. No, I would completely agree with that. And I think especially in these games where you take on the role of a specific character, mm-hmm. it's that game's job to make you feel like you're playing that character.
Yes.
And you step into that role. And I think this game does that really well.
And we've played this game with people that don't know anything about Power Rangers.
Absolutely.
And they still have enjoyed it because the decks that the players are playing is a game within itself. The possibilities and decision-making that you make turn to turn with your deck, it's very balanced. And there's a lot of critical decisions that you have to make when choosing which cards to keep, because on your turn, when you do an attack, you'll draw up to 5 cards. And so most of the time, sometimes you want to draw 5, but other times you don't want all 5 cards in your hand because you need cards for defense too, because you're going to get attacked by the villain or the foot soldiers or the bot or whatever. And so you need defense. So you can't draw all the cards because you only have 10. And if you draw 5, that's half of them and you need to defend, or there's cards that, you know, you want to be able to draw some cards and all this stuff. So that aspect of the game it's not just a game that has a really good theme and that's it. This game has a lot of very interesting cooperative aspects as the players are really truly working together against the villain. And when it's the villain's turn, you know, they pop out kind of, you know, like any cooperative games, they kind of flood the board with things that you have to overcome. The foot soldiers come out. I love all the different foot soldiers that are in the game. I think putties and is it Z putties are in the base
So in the base game, it's original putties and super putties.
Yeah,
are in the base game.
Yeah. And so they're a lot of fun. And then the monsters will pop out, and they're much stronger. And the really cool thing about this is when you face like, you know, a couple putties, their cards are okay. Their attacks are, you know, they do look like a couple damage here and there. But then the game really ramps up. I love this, the ramping effect between the foot soldiers to monsters to boss. It is a really good balance. And that's what you're looking for when you're looking in a cooperative game. You're looking for that kind of ramp up because you want to have an easy first to two turns, one first turn and second turn. You really want it people to kind of get the flow of it, kind of get rhythm. And it really works with the foot soldiers because that's all that comes out on that first turn.
Right.
And so you're kind of beaten up. You're kind of figuring it out. They're kind of beaten back a little bit. And then a monster drops. They have very special abilities based on their deck. They give a little deck of cards that you'll pull. And then with the boss, it's like, it takes the monster an annoyance level and quadruples it with the amount that happens to you.
Well, and it's cool too because how well you manage the board along the way to the boss sets up how close the game is going to be to finish up. Because mm-hmm. if you go into turn four and you have not managed the board well,
oof,
then it could be a mess really quick.
Like going in without morphing.
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly like that.
The one thing I do, and I mentioned this, so each foot soldier, when you go to defeat these figures on the board, you'll flip cards based on how many are at each location.
Right.
Within those cards, they have health points and then an ability, and the abilities range from attacking you to dealing damage, discarding cards, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
With each of those, like I said, the foot soldiers to monsters to boss, you'll be attacking specific cards. For each foot soldier card that you defeat, you remove one figure. The boss, though, or the monster, excuse me, you have to defeat, what, four cards?
Well, for the monsters, it's four.
Yeah.
And for the boss, it's six.
Six cards.
And you can't see six cards in one fight, so you got to do two fights on that fourth round.
So you can defeat a monster in one attack, because you'll flip four cards. But those four cards are so strong. So strong. It's not like, it's just like a whole other level of the foot soldiers. And then when you get to the boss, yes, you flip four. You have to defeat those four. But then you have to do a whole other attack and start all over. And there's probably more foot soldiers that you have to defeat too. And then you don't just flip two. Even though you have to defeat six cards total, you have to flip four more cards, which do terrible, terrible things. Terrible, terrible things.
Yes.
And so you end up flipping a total of eight cards on the boss.
That's right.
And so, like I said, that ramping is just a unique aspect of this game that I haven't really seen in many other co-ops. There's plenty of other co-ops that you attack things and whatnot, but that style of ramping where the cards are very, it does progress on what type of villain that you're attacking, makes it that much stronger on top of those card abilities are also really strong.
Well, and it's interesting you've been mentioning that because as you've been talking through that, I've kind of been thinking about it. I was like, you know, you start out as a Power Ranger. You start out with your powers, so you're already awesome on turn one. I remember when we first started playing, we were like, oh, yeah, we cleared a couple areas. That was cool. Two, the expectation is board better be cleared on turn one.
Yeah.
Because when the monsters come out turn two, it's getting real.
Yeah.
And so my point with that is that you don't continue to be you don't ramp at the same rate that the game does.
No.
And so it becomes a grind that you have to learn how to manage really well.
Yeah.
Over the course of the game, you do get Zords that come alongside as companions. They give an extra special ability that you can work with your group with, which are great. They can change the game.
They do.
But I don't think it keeps pace with mm-mm. how much it ramps for the bad guys. And so it is not as simple as, oh, I'm just going to keep leveling up my character and it's just going to be OP at the end.
Right.
No, you're grinding to the end and you're going to look around and be like, well, we're either going to do it or this is the end.
Yeah.
And that's just how it goes.
The only ramping that the players have is getting to know their deck a little better and knowing what combo they want.
And managing that deck.
And
yeah.
managing it.
For sure.
And then the Zords, they add like a little extra abilities for the players. Some of them are really good, you know, and whatnot, but... In general, yes, that ramping is a steep climb for the villains. The heroes, it's kind of just a nice little slow, little steady, you know, steady hill, a walking pace.
Yep.
Where the villains are over here, parkour.
Sprinting, yeah. No, parkour is good. That's right.
Parkour.
Very much in line with the martial arts. I like it.
and that's what you want in a cooperative game. That is what I want, because I don't want every game to be super easy. I want to lose. I don't want to lose. I want to feel like I achieved something and conquered something. And if I'm just walking through a game, that does me no good.
Right.
That does me no good.
I mean, I'll jump in there and say, I think that there are cooperative games that I do want to lose from time to time. Mm-hmm. Because that makes the victory that much better.
Right.
Whereas if I cakewalk through it every time, I'm like, this isn't even really a game.
Yeah.
We're just hanging out.
And I feel like, in general, I think we have won this game a lot more than we've lost. But a lot of games are really tight.
Yeah.
The most recent game, honestly, we defeated the first four cards of the villain or the boss, and then we flipped the next four, and we thought it was over. Based off how much damage that we had to do and how much attack they were doing and losing cards, I thought it was over. And we ended up...
We got really lucky with some of the dice rolls.
Yes.
And we figured out a strategy to pull it out, but it did not look good when we turned that second set.
My gosh, I was pretty depressed. I had to pull my mind together.
Yep, we had to focus.
Get my
focus
attitude out of the dumps.
There you go.
And morph into a better
use that attitude.
Yeah.
That's it. Yes.
But
can you guys tell we like this game?
So with that, I guess, do you have anything else that you want to say about the likes? Because that kind of, I have something as we're talking about that, it's bringing me up to something that I'm...
I'll throw in a couple quick things here and we'll just let you take over with what you've got. I really like a good dice chucker, even though I suck at rolling dice. Mm-hmm. I like the randomness when you're in this battle, in this epic, and... You have this, not only do you have the bad guys to overcome, you've got to overcome some luck with the dice rolls and blah, blah, blah.
And then for those who don't know, Jared is the worst dice roller on the planet.
It's pretty bad.
The planet. He is the worst. It's because he doesn't believe in the heart of the dice, in my opinion.
Even though I tell everybody else to.
Yes, exactly. You don't believe, but...
I try.
Yes.
I'm learning. We had a stretch tonight where I carried us based on my belief in the heart of the dice.
That's true. See, I've challenged you.
Yes.
And you've overcome the challenge.
I appreciate that challenge. Another thing that I really like is that there's not specified turns. There's a player round and there is a monster round. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you can have a ranger do one thing and then another ranger do another thing, or that ranger might do all of their things to see how that changes the board state and then everyone else responds to it.
Yeah.
And there's always, you have the option to strategize and move tactically the way that you want to.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that.
Yeah.
I don't like being beholden to a turn order when it doesn't really make sense. And so the fact that all rangers can kind of go at their pace is great. And another thing I will say, just from a like gameplay perspective, there's lots of ways to modify the difficulty in this game.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the locations have a base, just the name of the location, but you can flip it over and it adds more to the game. Some positive effects, some negative effects.
Mm-hmm.
There's ways to ramp up the amount of foot soldiers that come out. So there's a lot of good ways to make the game more difficult if you want that.
Mm.
I think at some point it kind of breaks down, but overall, it continues to be a challenge even after many plays. And I can't say that for a lot of co-ops.
Yeah. And so that brings into, what I don't like when you're attacking, you have to play certain cards that are attack card specific. And so I feel like some of the Power Rangers don't have as many attack cards in their deck. And that's something that can be a good thing. But when you're trying to play with a larger group and you can only spread them out so much and that player really hasn't played before and there's a lot of synergies within that deck, it's hard to find because they're just looking, I need to attack. And they don't have attack cards because you have to play in a card that has an attack and some usually has to be cheap because it does require energy for some of the higher cost cards. And then on top of that, you have to roll dice. And each attack is different. It says how many dice you need to roll, but you'll roll that many dice. And that's the luck part, is that some people, you just didn't hit that night and it just didn't, your dice weren't rolling right. And that can really hurt the team, because so much of this is rolling right. And there's some things you can do to get rerolls and whatnot, but a lot of the time you do rely a little bit on that dice roll. And so that can be kind of a challenge. And the one thing that really bothers me about this is, as expansions have come out and the base game, I think all the Rangers are very strong. They each feel like a hero and in something that can do something. But as more Rangers have come out and there's a lot of different ones, especially, again, I grew up on Power Rangers in Space. We played through the Power Rangers in Space Rangers, and Andros was so bad. The Red Ranger from Space they put in this game, his deck just did not work. It didn't feel strong for a Red Ranger, and it was disappointing. And I finished that experience kind of disappointed because I was like, this is supposed to be a strong Ranger, the strongest of the group, and honestly feels like the weakest of the group. And so that was super frustrating because it's just, honestly, I'd rather you just, and it's tough because you're trying to balance out decks, but just make them all strong and then you can ramp up with the villain part. That's in my mind. You can always ramp up with the villain part, and making heroes weaker in any game, if you're the good side of the player side, if you're making that very as a variability and how good they are, that I'm not necessarily fond of that. A little bit of differentiation is fine. But I don't like it when this is an obvious bad deck or bad hero or whatever. Not a huge fan of that. That did bother me, especially when it was a character that I really love. So whatever, but I'll get over myself. That was just something that is frustrating, is that some of the decks are not balanced as far as strength. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they have to just attack. That's not what bothers me. It's that it just wasn't a good deck. Like, they just threw it out there for money or whatever. That's the one thing that really bothers me. And then length. This game can take a while. I mean, you're looking over 2 hours for two people, and we play two Rangers per player.
Yeah, so it's really a 4-player game.
Yeah.
But I have yet to play this game and it take under 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't take that long.
No.
And I think some of that is on us for the way that we like to play, where we try to optimize everything. But I still don't, I think even if we just, threw caution to the wind and went for it, yeah, I still think you're at 2 hours.
Yeah. It's a long time. It doesn't feel like a long time when you're playing because there's a lot of decision making. But
I was going to say, if you have the time to kill, you are not going to be bored in this game. You are going to be into it. You are going to look up at the clock later and be like, oh
yeah,
I didn't realize. But
yeah, for sure.
Every time it is long.
Every time I, at the end of it, I'm like, man, it took that long. And that's good. That's a good thing, but that it's just a long time to commit to a game, because it's tough if you start late in the night, if you're having a game night, it's just tough because that's, if you're looking at a couple new people, that's over a 3-hour commitment. And that's a long game.
It's a big ask, especially for new people.
Yeah, teaching, that's not a family game night like event. So that's something that, I'm not sure, honestly, I'm not sure what you would do to fix that. It's just part of the game because you only play like really 4 turns.
Well, 4 rounds, but
4 rounds. Maybe 5 if you get around to it, unlikely.
It can happen depending on the board state, but that's not going to save your time.
No. It's going to make it go longer. So, yeah. but only four rounds. You end up, yeah, I mean, that's almost 45 minutes a round. So
yeah,
that's crazy. When you start putting the math on it, it's a lot. But again, the time kind of flies, and it's not like you're sitting there waiting for somebody to finish their turn for your turn to come. The turns are connected together,
right,
as players. So that time kind of does pass together, and instead of an individual taking individual turns within that, of making it feel like it's taking forever. It doesn't sure. feel like that, but it does take a while.
Yeah, I cannot argue with the length critique at all, because like I said, it has always been that way. I have tried a number of ways. We have the extra dice pack.
We've played a lot of games.
Everyone has dice. I know the game inside and out. I have given new players the best rangers and be like, here, just have fun. And no matter what you do, it's just a longer game. And
yeah,
that's just part of it. And I know that's going to turn some people away, and that's a bummer, because it is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So the expansion pack thing is tricky. Because I definitely understand where they're coming from, mm-hmm, with wanting to get all these different rangers and monsters and everything else out there. But I think you do have to kind of pick and choose what works best as far as what you're interested in. I would not feel like I got a good enough value if I only had the base game. I feel like I would work through that pretty quickly.
Yeah. There's only one boss.
Yeah. And so I would feel like I kind of ran through it after a couple of plays. Like, mm-hmm, you can mix up the monsters, which is cool. So you've got some combinations there, but it's always Rita.
Yeah.
On Renegade's website, they have a Kickstarter exclusive box. Yeah, so it's not really exclusive, but it was okay for the original Kickstarter.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend that. It adds a lot of extra monsters and villains, and really gives the variety that you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an extra sunk cost that you're talking about.
Right.
So there is a critique there for me of, well, I want to buy the base game, but now I've also got to buy this other thing too. And you can buy that later. Like, I think you can get a solid
100%.
10 plays out of the base game, yes, before it starts to feel samey.
You can, yes. You should, if you're interested, definitely start with the base.
Feel like it's a requirement on the front end.
No, if you're going to get a couple plays a year out of it,
Then
maybe you don't need anything more than that if you enjoy it, and it's just not going to make it to the table because it's longer. But
right.
So what, like, as far as player count, so what's the math? It's 2 to 5.
2 to 5 with the, with a couple of the expansions, you can get up to 6.
Okay.
And there's rules in the base game for how to do that. Mm-hmm. So you can buy any, there's a variety of like different ranger packs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy any ranger pack at a 6 player, mm-hmm, and it's in there ready to go right away.
Yeah.
For me, I would say that the best that I have seen this game is at 3 players.
Okay.
With 3, each ranger gets that extra action token, so they get to do more by themselves.
So with 3 players,
there's 3 action tokens apiece.
Oh, 3 actions. Yeah. Okay, wow.
But also, it feels, there's just enough to feel like you can work together as a team.
Yeah.
And it's probably the most difficult spot too.
Yeah.
Which I like. I like that in a cooperative game where it's more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I think for most people, 4 is going to be the spot that fits the best. It's not overly crowded,
mm-hmm,
but it's also got enough people to work together,
yeah,
to kind of cover the board.
I do like 4. I like 3 and 4, honestly. And then when we played 2 players, we basically played it like a 4 player game. So
yeah, I really don't like the 2 player rules. They're just not for me. I will say, though, like I talked about to open on the what we liked, man, when you have 5 people around the table, mm-hmm, and they all combo together, there's few feelings in tabletop that feel that good.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, no, I would say I really do enjoy 3 to 4. Yes, the 5 player like shenanigans that go on and combos, great, but
it's another player.
Yeah. And it adds the length, because then you got somebody else taking action. Yeah.
Yeah.
I prefer 3 to 4. In general on this. So does it have a solo variant?
No.
Okay.
No, you really need 2 or 3 players.
Okay. Yeah. So no real true solo option unless there's something on BGG, but
yeah,
it's just not something that really works here.
Before we jump into grading, I did want to circle back around, 'cause there's one thing I think that we missed. The art and the minis in this game mm-hmm. are super cool.
Yeah.
We're talking about chunky miniatures.
Yes.
Big time.
They're awesome.
They're huge. They're really easy to see.
Yeah.
They, when you hold them, man, I will never forget holding, of all things, the monster pudgy pig.
Oh, yes.
This big pig ball with a fork and a knife.
It's so good.
It's so awesome.
It's so good.
I love it.
Yeah.
So it's great. The artist did a great job. It's got a very comic booky kind of feel
totally.
To the art. And I think it's some of the best art that I've seen on Power Rangers.
Yeah. Daniel, Mora?
That's correct.
And the designer is Jonathan Ying.
Yep.
He did Imperial Salt also.
Yeah. Just that.
Yeah. That alone, great game. G.I. Joe, Mission Critical, which I've not played, and then Doom and some other titles. And then Renegade. Renegade Games is really big right now. Between, you have Clank, the Raiders of the North Sea, and Architects of the West Kingdom, and G.I. Joe, like, they have a lot of titles out right now that are very good games.
Yeah, Renegade's really big, and they're going to continue to grow.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting. I really liked rooting for Renegade when they were that underdog company.
Yeah, no.
I mean, they've done some really good things.
Yeah.
It's changed a little bit. But yep. I'm really happy for the IPs that they have and the things that they're doing.
Yeah, no, they're doing a lot of good things. They have the financial support to continue to put out expansions to this game
sure.
and packs and heroes. And I mean, heck, they have a Tommy Oliver pack, which I highly recommend. All of the Tommy Olivers are great in that. I'm like, oh my goodness. So they have a lot of content to this game. And yes, the art, incredible. It fits. It's perfect for what Power Rangers is. It fits it so well
mm-hmm.
on top of the monsters, and the miniatures are all really big. It's not like you're playing with tiny little miniatures. These miniatures are huge.
They're massive.
Huge miniatures compared to plenty of other games that you would want the miniatures to be bigger. This like quadruples that size. They're huge, and it's great because you always know, can tell what's on the board. There's no, like, sometimes the putties can kind of be mixed, but if you play the game a couple times, you can easily spot them because the miniatures are big enough to see the detail and see what the difference is, which is great. So,
all right. So now we can segue back into our grading and final thoughts. I just wanted to add that in there really quick.
Well, what do you think, Jared? What do you think?
So just as a like peek behind the curtain, whenever we get to this part, I always go see if I've rated this game on BGG just to kind of see where I was and where I'm at and all that good stuff.
Yeah. What do we got?
I think in this case, I actually agree with myself. So I remember when I first bought this game out of sheer excitement and love, I gave it a 10 out of 10. but that is since we've come back down to planet Earth.
Okay.
I'm going to give this game an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
I would describe this game, this to me has the same level of enjoyment as when I used to have Halo, like people over to play Halo, and we would all connect our Xboxes to each other and we'd have back-to-back TVs.
Yeah.
It was like a big thing, and it was like this big event where you're putting all this work in to make the event happen. The event takes a really long time because you want to commit to, you know, making sure that you get enough game time in after all the work that you just did.
Yep.
And I think everyone just has a great time. I do think, I know for me, the game length keeps it on the shelf more than on the table, which I am a little sad about, but it is what it is. But I know every single time I bring it out, it is just an absolute blast. I even said it to you tonight after we were done playing. I was so thankful that you talked me out of selling it because when we went through that time with the space expansion, and we sat there after the game. We were like, man, we're just so disappointed in this expansion. Like, do I just move on from it at this point? Because we've kind of gotten our plays out of it, and I don't want it to just sit here. But I liked that we took a break. This was not like we played it between those two times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a couple times or so.
But yeah, but man, every time it comes out, I'm just like, oh yeah, that's why I love this game.
Yeah.
And it's so good. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. No, I think during COVID, we had played this game a lot. We got our fair share of plays.
It was every single time you came over, we were playing this game, yeah, I think.
Like once a month, I'd come over with like two other people. We'd keep it, you know, 6 feet apart and,
yes,
6 feet at a 6 foot table with only less than six people. So,
yes.
But, yeah, I think we wore it out a little bit.
It was the hot thing.
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah. And so we did get it, you know, now to, as you sit back and get it back to the table, it kind of, you kind of notice all the good things and bad things, but you notice the things you do truly love about this game. Yeah. Yeah, this is a solid 8 out of 10. Like 100%. Nice. I know that's a great number. That's what I would give it. It does everything that I want to do in a cooperative game. It does it obviously a little longer, but in cooperative games, I think you can go longer and it'd be okay. There's not really anything to compare it to.
Yeah, it's pretty unique in what it does.
I would compare it to when I was a child, a young boy in the backwoods of Tennessee. As I had my friend over, his name was Jordan, and he had every Power Ranger toy on the planet.
Wow.
Like, he was more diehard than me. And he would bring his toys over, the blasters and the axe and whatever. He would bring it over. I had some. We'd go play either in the toy room or outside, and we would play for hours. That is what this game for me relates to, is that you bring your toys and you sit at the table or sit on the floor and you just have fun and you play together. And usually there's some minion or whoever you're defeating, but it's mostly just fun.
Yep.
And that's really what this is. This game is full of nostalgia if you love Power Rangers, and if you're willing to give it a try, it is also a great solid game. It's a great board game. It does everything that a co-op should do. It's got great balance. It's got great ramping for the villains. You can turn it up or turn it down on the difficulty level. It just does everything that a co-op should do. So I would give it a chance. 8 out of 10 for sure for me. I think that sits right. It really sits right. It's not perfect, and there's obviously some issues. If you don't like Power Rangers at all...
Listen, if you've made it to this point in this episode and you don't like Power Rangers... Yeah.
Thank you.
I applaud you.
Yeah, like, thank you.
This is insane.
We appreciate we appreciate you so much for
sticking
it out for however long this is. I mean, heck, this is probably like 45 minutes in at this point. So, no, thank you so much. But yes, Power Rangers, it's a great game. It really is. The game itself, but also the theme behind it.
Yeah, I think that's well said. Well, hey, to that one person who doesn't like Power Rangers and has made it this far, and also to all the rest of you, thank you so much for listening. It has been a joy once again to do this with you and to have you at our table. If you do have feedback or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. All of our socials and our email are linked in the description. We would absolutely appreciate it if you could leave us that 5-star review, follow us on Instagram, subscribe to our podcast. All of these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. Very special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art and to Anna Snyder who made the music. And until next time, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
It's morphin' time.
Dun, 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 dun.